This is CliffCentral.com.
Mike Bruton is an author who's put together a book which celebrates local innovation, the entrepreneurs and inventors who have brought together novel concepts and crafted them into something useful for society. Now, in South Africa, we tend to focus so much on the bad news and so much on the politics that we pay very little attention to the brilliant minds and those innovative, clever, crafty people who are coming up with inventions that are of an international standard and that will change the world, and in many cases have changed the world. So the book is sort of like a Guinness World Records book, but it's a call for more. More creativity, more entrepreneurship, more innovation for the whole country's sake. Mike, your book couldn't come at a better time. I think people are feeling a little bit despondent about some of the things that are going on in South Africa. The economy's not growing. People are concerned about the political stability of South Africa. But in the end, inventions and innovations like the dolos or the creepy crawly are the kinds of things that will go down in history, and we'd like the word South African to be next to them, wouldn't we?
Absolutely right. And that really is one of my motivations for writing this book. There is so much positive stuff going on in South Africa. As you say, we have many great minds. We're making a major international impact. And South Africans need to be a little bit more upbeat about our contributions to international society.
Well, it's interesting. You've even featured in the book people like Vinnie Lingham, who's done so well in Silicon Valley. I see you even mentioned a friend of mine in Locomute, Dando Kubeka. There's plenty of interesting companies, Payfast, you know, things like CompuTicket. These are things that we take for granted in South Africa. We think, oh, well, these can't possibly be local inventions. They must be replicated all over the world. But in very many situations, these are first-of-a-kind inventions.
Right, and the most interesting thing, which I've tried to explore in the book, is the story behind the inventors. For instance, in the launch of the book in Cape Town, we had Percy Tucker, the inventor of CompuTicket, come along, and I asked him to tell us about the process that led to this amazing invention, because CompuTicket was the first computerized ticketing system in the world 17 years before any other country got it right. Mm-hmm. And he was just frustrated by standing in queues to go to the theater. He had absolutely no computer experience, but he talked to the right people, worked very hard at it, and produced a system which is still sets a standard worldwide.
What are the things that impressed you when you were researching this? Because there must have been a huge amount of work that went in behind the scenes to decide what was going to be in the book and what wasn't. And you didn't struggle for content or material, did you?
No, in fact, the biggest challenge was what to include and what to leave out.
Right.
The book includes over 660 inventions by 400 plus inventors, but really, and there are 29 chapters, and there really could be a book about each of the chapters. There is an enormous amount of innovation going on in South Africa. I have taken the attitude of defining inventions very broadly in order to encourage creativity among South Africans. So in my opinion, anyone who is inventive can make an invention. It doesn't have to be in the industrial sphere or in the transport sector and so on. So you'll see, you know, I've included people in music and arts and dance and craft, because to me, all of that is about invention and innovation and should be encouraged, and the infrastructure needs to be put in place to make it happen.
What do you think makes South Africans innovative? Is it necessity as opposed to luxury? You know, in the third world, or the developing world, as they like to call us some of the time, sometimes we don't have an option but to be innovative.
I think that's one of it. One of the points. We definitely have a strong can-do type of attitude in South Africa. It might be partly due to our relative geographical isolation from the rest of the developed world. Also, our political isolation might have contributed to it. But I think it's mainly the diversity of our cultures, the diversity of our plants and animals, which we've been able to take advantage of in terms of foods and drinks and grooming products and medicinal products. And, you know, there is a high, a very good work ethic among South Africans. I've lived and worked in many countries, most recently in the Middle East, and our work ethic is something to be proud of.
That's interesting, because I do hear a lot of people who like to say South Africans are lazy. You don't believe that?
Well, it's my experience. I helped to start, and I was director of a science center in Bahrain recently for 3.25 years. And the biggest challenge I faced was getting people to work, getting people to think, to be innovative, to think out of the box, to do something new. It's just not in their character. In fact, it's educated out of them. And we may have problems in some sectors in South Africa, but I really believe in general we have an excellent work ethic.
A lot of people would say that most of the innovation is likely to come from educated and privileged people. You also prove that that's not true in your book.
Quite correct. There are different categories of inventions. I deal firstly with the ancient inventions, which unfortunately we can't put a name to, you know, going right back to the first controlled use of fire, the first mathematical device, the first chemistry set, etc. Then to pre-colonial inventions that we can start putting names to. And some of the most important ones in the recent era are modern inventions derived from indigenous knowledge. And, for instance, the Hoodia appetite suppressant from a succulent in the Northern Cape.
Right.
Where credit is given to the first peoples from whose knowledge that is derived. And they are also now receiving financial feedback from the sale of Hoodia products worldwide.
I mean, I'm moved by some of the things that are a lot simpler, that haven't necessarily changed the world, but have added to arts and culture. And you hinted at this earlier on, things like the can guitar, the African guitar, where you use like a petrol tin or an oil tin as the base of the guitar, and then the vuvuzela, which everybody knows very well.
Yes, they were. Kind of trumpets played in South Africa in pre-colonial times, made from kudu horns and kelp and so on. And of course, there was the good old snook horn made from, and that led to the vuvuzela, which has made an impact worldwide, been banned in many sports grounds around the world because of the noise it makes. But there, as you say, there are many other inventions made by people in rural areas. For instance, the collapsible tow bar made up in Limpopo province, which can easily be folded up and put into a normal vehicle. Many grooming products, natural bioinsecticides using locusts and beetles and bugs to control diseases and infestations of plants. So it's happening at all levels of our society.
A lot of focus on the future and the ability of the tech world to drive us forward. Apps, digital communications technology, innovative ideas around transport and sharing of resources. These are things that obviously were not possible before the internet. Do you think that, the general consensus is right when people say that the internet has democratized entrepreneurship?
I think that is true, and the technology uptake and the rapidity with which South Africans and Africans elsewhere in the continent have taken up these opportunities is among the fastest in the world. So we really have something to be proud of. Another person who was at our launch in Cape Town was Michael Blom, the designer of iStyler, and it's fascinating to hear his story. And
Jacques Blom.
Yeah. And he had a great story to tell as well. And there are many people who have kind of done technology leapfrog straight into the information age and are making amazing contributions.
I mean, there's some people like Elon Musk is not in a hurry to proclaim himself South African, but we can be proud of the fact that we at least produced him in the very beginning. And his comparison in your book, you compare him to Nikola Tesla, which is by no means a small comparison. I mean, there's a lot that the two have in common, but it's quite something to be compared to someone of the innovative nature of Nikola Tesla, right?
Yeah, Tesla had a bit of a tragic story. He was at the same time as Edison, who was a master of marketing and self-promotion.
Right.
Tesla was not that way inclined, and Tesla made massive contributions, and his alternating current was eventually accepted worldwide. But I think Elon Musk has shown great respect for Tesla by naming his company after them. Mm-hmm. And that is great. And as you see in the book, I've defined a South African inventor as someone who born and bred and educated in South Africa and works in South Africa, or was born and educated here and works abroad. And I also, of course, include foreigners who settled in South Africa who've made inventions locally.
Absolutely. Just tell me quickly, there's an interesting guy in here called Mulalo Duyoyo. Can you tell me about Mulalo?
Yeah, he's one of our major sort of serial inventors. He spent a great deal of time abroad, but he's now returned to South Africa and has done amazing things. The hydrogen-powered motorbike that he's developed, also brick-making tools, a Morigard, which uses waste products to produce coatings for roof tiles and bricks. And like many of our inventors, he is keen to ease the burden on people living in rural areas in impoverished environments by using technology to make their lives more comfortable.
It's incredible that some of these stories are going on around us and so few people know about them. That's one of the reasons I'm delighted your book is out there. You obviously are very aware of what's going on in the Western Cape at the moment, the water problem. This is going to lead to a blooming, I should imagine, of water-saving innovation in the Western Cape.
Yes, that's already happened, and also in the Eastern Cape. So, now on the roads of Cape Town, there are trucks full of JoJo and other tanks being carted around, many innovative ideas on how to recycle water not only once but twice. And I have Jeremy Taylor's Water Rhapsody system set up in my house. In fact, it's been set up for over 12 years already. So our water is being reused several times. And, you know, that as well as use of solar power and means of reducing our dependence on municipal electricity and water supplies is a very important driver for innovation.
The interesting thing about your book is that while all of that seems in stark contrast to the inability of governments and of the state in general to be able to function at a level of competence which produces the innovation that we need, and that the private sector is probably a better vehicle for that kind of innovation, you do, however, give credit to the Department of Science and Technology. You talk about the square kilometer array. So there's a balance of opinion in the book, too. It's not as if you're only paying attention to people who are doing things for profit, right?
I think we can be very proud of what our Department of Science and Technology is doing to promote innovation. It has developed a world-class innovation strategy, and I believe our Minister, Naledi Pandor, is the main ambassador for innovation in South Africa. She's a terrifically good motivational speaker, especially encouraging young black people and especially women to enter the innovation arena. And, to me, the Department of Science and Technology and its various agencies is doing a great job to promote innovation and to raise awareness of it. They kindly sponsored this book, which has allowed us to sell it at a price that's affordable to most people. And they've also bought 3,000 copies, which I'll be distributing to schools and using as prizes and awards.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's great to see that government are involved in initiatives like this, because they haven't exactly covered themselves in glory in terms of what else they've been doing in other departments. And I do agree with you, Naledi Pandor is a shining light in our cabinet.
I should also mention I was able to launch the book at the Science Forum South Africa in Pretoria at the CSR Convention Centre in early December. Mm-hmm. And Cyril Ramaphosa was there, and I mentioned that because South Africa has a strong sporting culture, it's inevitable that inventions have also been made in the sporting arena. And I told him that there is a fishing fly mentioned in the book, mm-hmm. tied in the cuts of the ANC, which is called the Cyril Ramaphosa.
And we know he likes fly fishing, so that's a good thing.
He's an avid fly fisherman, yes.
All right, there are a couple of South African inventions that are sort of apocryphal. They almost go into the book without anyone even having to know the detail of it. But I met a great innovator the other day who was involved in the creepy crawly story.
Right.
And there are sort of stories like that. The Dolos is another one that everybody talks about. But these are things that have become almost the international standard for the sorts of application that they're used for. And before they were invented, there was nothing like it. And since then, there have obviously been improvements and changes and other products that are competing with them. But are there other places that we don't necessarily know about where South Africans are leading?
Well, if I could just go back to the Dolos, I happen to have had some personal contact there in that Eric Merrifield was a friend of my father and a fellow artist, and he used to come around to our house very often. He was the harbour engineer in East London who commissioned his draftsman, Kruger, to design the Dolos. So they should really get joint credit for that. And I've seen the Dolos all over the world, in Kuwait, in California, in Singapore. It's an amazingly effective invention. I think, you know, I was asked recently to list the most important inventions made by South Africans. And in the medical field, we've really done terrific work. And I think that Alan Cormack's co-invention of the CAT scan, I must rate as our greatest ever invention, because he shared the Nobel Prize with Godfrey Hounsfield of England for that invention. And like all great inventions, it was originally developed for one task and has now found very wide application. And it led, for instance, to Lodox, which is a low-dose X-ray system that De Beers developed for, as I said, reducing the risk of miners using diamonds as a dietary supplement. It's also led to Asesco, the breast imaging system developed by Kit Vaughan. And CAT scanners are not only used in the medical field, but in the industrial field as well. Also, you know, one must recognize things like the development of Bell Trucks in Richards Bay in KwaZulu-Natal. They've done absolutely fantastic work. I think they have 72 different models of haulage and other heavy-duty vehicles that are made now in Richards Bay collaboratively with some of the great truck and tractor makers around the world.
That's quite something, and I think we've got a lot to be proud of in respect to this. But again, I think that perhaps it's worth saying that the very desperate need at some level to have a solution to a problem is what leads to great innovation, and certainly a lot of that is true. But there are also some things that are purely about luxury, and we're very good at distinguishing the difference between the two and being equally good at creating things that are luxurious. I mean, we've got wines, and you mentioned the wine popsicles that they've developed here. You know, things that are not necessarily essential to human existence and that don't solve some massive societal problem, but they're very cool to have.
Yeah, wine popsicle is a fun one. And, you know, as you say, necessity does drive invention. I'd like to mention especially the telerometer, the radio telerometer,
yes,
which was developed by Trevor Wadley back in the 50s. He is, in my opinion, our Thomas Edison, our most famous and capable inventor.
Mm-hmm.
During the Second World War, he was involved in radio and radar work, and then he joined a division of the CSIR, and he was asked to develop an accurate distance measuring tool. And within 6 months, he came up with the radio telerometer, which for 30 years was the leading means of accurate distance measurement throughout the world. And the highways and railroads of North America, of parts of Europe and Asia were laid out using the telerometer. And then amazingly, as happens with most inventions, it was replaced by something better and more accurate, and that was the infrared telerometer, also invented by a South African called Dick Holscher. And that is for short distance, highly accurate measurements. And they have now been replaced by the GPS, except there are certain environments, for instance, in mine shafts, where the infrared telerometer is still the standard device.
Incredible stuff. What's your favorite invention? I mean, these are all good and great, but is there one that you found that just tickles your fancy, makes you smile, and makes you think that's so South African? And you can't say Biltong.
Well, I love Biltong, but having been born and bred in East London, I think the Dolos is closest to my heart and, you know, the story behind it. But I also identify very strongly with the telerometer and with the digital laser that Sandile Ngopo has developed at the CSIR while he was a PhD student at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. I mean, that is the digital laser is something that top laboratories all over the world tried to develop and failed to do so, and then he did it. You know, so that is absolutely fantastic. And there are other stories which have a sadder ending. And for instance, I mean, South African at the CSR developed the first lithium-ion battery and the concept behind it. But unfortunately, we didn't take it to the market, and others did, which is a bit of a tragedy.
That is unfortunate. Now, I'm interested also in your final chapter in your book, which I think is, well, there are a couple of final chapters, but the one is to how it's sort of a guide as to how you could become a great inventor. And this is terrific for kids, especially kids with creative minds and kids who like building things and kids who like making things, because you give them point-by-point reasons to figure out whether or not they have the potential to be an inventor and then how to follow that dream to fruition, to make it work.
Hmm. Yes, these are points that I jotted down during my interviews with inventors and reading around their work. And I think they'll be useful to anyone in a creative endeavor. Some of the ones I remember, for instance, are, you know, learn to fail quickly, because failure, you know, is just as important as success in the innovation arena. So, you know, if you fail quickly, learn from it and build on that. Another one I remember is, you know, choosing the right people. And if you look around the room at your team and you're the brightest person in the room, then there's something wrong with your recruiting strategy. So, you know, there are all sorts of things. Being disruptive, you know, disruptive used to be a negative term. Now it's a very positive term. If you're not being disruptive, you're not being constructive. It's quite a weird way it's changed around. Form following function, I think, is a very important one. Knowing your field, identifying the gaps, and of course, ruthless determination in achieving your goals.
Are South Africans uniquely gifted in some way? Do we have some advantage or some disadvantage that you haven't already mentioned? You mentioned distance. You mentioned the fact that there's often necessity in the mix. Are there any other characteristics you picked up that make South Africans interesting to observe?
I think our multiculturalness is important. You know, the cross-fertilization of ideas from people with different cultures, educational backgrounds, is a very valuable attribute. And that is also being shown elsewhere in Africa. And I'm starting research now for a similar book on African inventions, and this is coming through in that as well. So, you know, learning from one another, communicating with one another, being in innovation hubs where we share conversations, that is, I think, a very strong attribute and something which the more homogenous Northern Hemisphere countries don't necessarily have.
Are we doing enough to stimulate innovation and invention?
I think in the major metropolitan areas, there's actually a competition between Joburg, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, Durban, Bloemfontein to be the smartest city, to develop the most innovative hubs, so-called.
Who do you think is winning?
I think it's a toss-up between Joburg and Cape Town at the moment, but I think Cape Town is ahead. There are more innovation hubs and co-working environments and accelerator centers here than anywhere else. But Joburg is definitely on the rise with Shimolong and so on. Pretoria is also a major player. So, you know, I think our large metropolitan areas are doing exceptionally well. What we've got to do is go one step down, you know, to the other large cities in South Africa and then to the towns as well and stimulate the same kind of nurturing environment in those places.
How much time did you have to take and set aside to research this book? It looks like an inordinate amount of work went into it.
It was a very difficult book to write because, obviously, having come from a scientific background, I had my speciality in which I had some expertise. To write this book, I had to master so many different disciplines in order to write authoritatively and precisely on them. So it was extremely difficult. But this book had a predecessor in that when I was director of the MTN Science Centre in Cape Town, as our contribution to the 10th anniversary of the democracy in 2004, we mounted an exhibition called Great South African Inventions. Mm-hmm. That was a success. It traveled around South Africa, was seen by about 100,000 people. And based on the research I did for that exhibition, I wrote a book called Great South African Inventions, which was published by Cambridge University Press. And that sort of laid the foundation. And after that, I was in regular correspondence with conferences. I gave talks on the subject, and that, you know, allowed me to create this much more comprehensive book. So it's actually been a 14-year process, although the writing itself took about a year.
Mike, just what is a wind-up pulse oximeter? That sounds like something I should know about.
Okay. This is something developed by Professor Dave Woods and his team, medical researchers in Cape Town. They are very concerned about rural health care, and especially care of pregnant mothers and unborn babies. And they confronted the problem that many rural clinics don't have electricity or even access to batteries. So they used the wind-up radio technology to create various medical tools, including the pulse oximeter and the fetal heart rate monitor. So this is something that you wind up, you don't need any electricity or batteries, and in the case of the pulse oximeter, it measures the pulse rate. In the case of the fetal heart rate monitor, it measures the heart rate of an unborn baby, because that is an indicator of the health of the baby.
Very, very interesting stuff. Well, I recommend the book wholeheartedly. I think it's something that a lot of South Africans should and might not even necessarily have the motivation for at the moment. But once you've read it, it reminds you of what incredible things we have been involved in the past and what incredible things we're currently involved in and very much what we're going to be doing in the future. It casts a very much more positive and illustrious picture of what this land can and will be if we put our brains together and we all work in synergy. And we use these advantages which you mentioned, like multiculturalism and isolation and all the things that used to be disadvantages. We use them now to our advantage. I think that it's precisely the sort of book we need to read to make 2018 a good year.
Thank you. And I think that the point you made earlier that this book resembles the Guinness Book of Records is absolutely right. We actually used that as a model for the design. It's obviously a very successful design. And information is provided in sort of bite-sized chunks. So you don't have to read the book from beginning to end. You can dip into it at any place. And I think it's a great book for families to read and chat about around the dinner table or over a braai. And it's a very positive and reinforcing book, I believe.
Well done, Mike. It's a terrific pleasure to talk to you, and best of luck with the book. The book's called What a Great Idea, Awesome South African Inventions. Mike Bruton, our guest.
This is CliffCentral.com.